You can turn with in God's Word with me, please, to Luke chapter 2, reading verse 36 down to verse 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The woman that we have read of today in the passage before us is Anna, an elderly woman who sought to please the Lord in all her ways. Anna is a wonderful example to every child of God who experiences sorrow at some point in their life. We read she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. There are differences regarding the time frame of the years of Anna. Some suggest that Anna was widowed until the age of 84. Others suggest, and maybe more favorable, that Anna's husband died after 7 years of marriage, and then for the next 84 years, she was widowed, meaning in this passage that Anna would be over 100 years old, and we'll look at that a bit later on. But notice, when death visited her home, her best friend was taken from her. And in death and in this sorrow in the home, notice that it did not drive Anna away from God or from his house. Rather, it drove Anna to her God and to his house. Anna was devoted to her Savior. She did not depart from the temple, the house of God. The sense of these words seemed to be that while her husband was alive, she would have attended the house of God to pray and worship with him. But now that her husband has passed, throughout these next number of years, Anna's eyes are still fixed upon the Christ of God. Her eyes are still fixed upon the promise concerning the birth of the Savior. And so she continued coming to the house of God. And that is vital to learn, because there's many who go through the valley of suffering and death visits the home. And I encourage you to learn from Anna that in every sorrow, trial, heartbreak, get to the house of God. Attend the place of prayer where Christ is presented as the great burden bearer, the only refuge of the soul, the one who cares and is concerned for his people. Plead the precious blood. Pray over the covenantal promises of God for your life, because Christ has purchased them. Notice again, she continued coming to the house in her old age. Verse 36 says that she was of great age. The words literally mean she was advanced in days. And taking one of those views that Anna had been married for 7 years, then her husband died and she's now widowed for 84 years, that's a total of 91 years. Then add possibly anything between 13 to 18 years before marriage, Anna should be, could be, around either 104 or 108 years old. But again, we don't know. But what we do know, and what we are to focus on, what Anna is doing in her great age, what she is doing late in life, and that is serving God, still coming to the house of God, still seeking Christ, still looking and desiring that fresh view of the Savior, still depending upon the promises of God. And so what a word for you who are of great age. Keep attending the house of God. Keep coming like Anna, with that desire, that view to see the Savior, to cling on to the promises of God. Verse 38 shows that she came in that instant. What instant did Anna come into the house of God? What was happening? It was when Mary and Joseph, in verse 22, they brought Christ to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Again, verse 27, when the parents brought the child in, the child Jesus, into the temple. And so this was the same occasion. Remember earlier on in the chapter, Simeon, he comes in and he has this view of Christ and he blesses God for seeing Christ who is God's salvation. Now on this very same occasion, as Anna comes in, she has this view of the Lord. What a blessing that was on that day in the temple, in the house of God. Anna was blessed. She came and she met with her Savior. She was dedicated. And in her devotion, she met with the Savior. She had a view of the Savior. The promises of God had now been fulfilled. The one she believed was coming had now come. The Savior had come into the world to save his people from their sin. And so Anna had continually kept coming to the house of God. And on this particular day, the Savior came. And she had a view of Christ and she left rejoicing, speaking of the Lord. And isn't that our desire, child of God? As we come to the house of God in our devotion week after week, we come to have that view of God. We have that view of the Savior. We read of the promises that he will meet with us and we will meet with him. We have those great views of the Savior. And as we come to the house of God, it is our desire each time, each week, to meet with our Savior and then to leave telling others about the Savior, about the Redeemer, and about redemption that is found in him. Notice, first of all, as we think of Anna's witness of Christ, Anna's position. The very fact we read that she served God and we learn that she was waiting for Christ and then that she spake of Christ and redemption in Christ testifies of her position in the Lord through faith in the promises of Christ the Redeemer. Now you will often hear me say, and rightly so, a person can serve God and still be lost. A person can have religion without Christ, as Saul of Tarsus, but not Anna. Because she served God through Christ. She was looking for the Savior. All she did was to have a sight of Christ depending upon his promises. And only those who have a saving relationship with Christ have an interest in Christ himself and to advance his kingdom. Therefore, her life is a witness to the genuine spirituality that exists in the life and soul of one who truly belongs to the Lord. You see, by nature, none are the servants of God. Scripture makes it clear. All are lost in sin. All walk in darkness and have yielded their lives to the devil's control to serve him. Paul wrote to the believers at Rome, and he reminded them before they became the servants of righteousness, that is, before they served God, chapter 6, verse 17, ye were the servants of sin, without Christ, without a hope. But being made free from sin, ye became the servants of God. And see that distinction. Before salvation, before conversion, you were the servants of sin. You did not serve God, but you served the devil. You lived for your pleasures. But now you are saved. You've been delivered from sin. And you're now set free as the servants of righteousness to serve God, to live for God. And so before conversion, we served the devil. We served the wicked one, servants and slaves to sin. But now through redemption, through Christ, we now serve God as servants of righteousness. Again, remember the testimony of the Thessalonians. Paul writes of them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Ye turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for his Son. And so here is a reference to their repentance and forsaking their idolatry. True repentance is a turning away from sin and a turning to the Savior. It is to walk in the opposite direction. And so the believers at Thessalonica, they forsook their idols, their pagan and false religion, to follow Christ. And Paul writes with such gladness, because their turning from idolatry was the evidence of the power of the gospel. It showed their lives had been transformed by the power of God. And so to serve God by looking to Christ is to know him, love him, be in fellowship with him, and to walk with him. Because they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And to worship God in truth is to worship him by faith in Jesus Christ. And so Anna, she's in the temple. She's coming to worship God by focusing upon Christ, focusing upon redemption. She looks for her Savior. She looks for her Messiah, the one she has read about and the one she comes to have a fresh view of. And on this particular occasion, she sees the Lord. Anna's faith rested on the promised Savior. Remember, in the Old Testament economy, the covenant of grace, the promise of salvation, was presented, taught by object lessons, type, shadows, pictures. We've been learning that, haven't we, in our study of the tabernacle, all the symbolism, the types, how God taught his way of salvation. And we've learned it, didn't we, through the brazen altar, how sin could be forgiven, and so much more. And so in the temple, in Luke chapter 2, in this scene, the sacrificial system was still in place. Those animal sacrifices, which, remember, they could never take away sin. Their blood never took away sin. But they did point, they did typify the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does take away sin, who offered himself a sacrifice for sin. His blood was shed. And as the priest prayed for the people on the ground of that blood, it all pointed to what Christ would do when he would come into this world. He himself is the offerer and the offering. He is the sacrifice. He would give his life a ransom. His blood would be shed. He would offer himself to God without spot on behalf of sinners he came to save. He is the promised Messiah. This is what he would do when he would come into the world. And so now Anna has put her faith in the Savior. She believed the promise of a Savior, who he was, what he would do in coming into the world for sinners like her. And now as she comes into the temple, she has a view of Christ. He has come. Messiah has come. The one who's come to live for me and to die for me. And her life was changed. Her life was, her life is that witness to the grace of God. She sends forth a message, what the Lord is able to do for sinners, because Anna came believing Christ. She came depending upon her Savior. And so she is an encouragement to female believers, believers of great age, believers of young age, for a godly example. Unsaved one, Anna is a witness to you who are not converted, because you need to worship God by redemption in Jesus Christ. Anna's position. Notice secondly, Anna's persistency. Very obvious that for Anna to live was Christ. She served God in the temple with fastings and prayers night and day. She sought the Lord and spent time in communion with him. Her worship was persistent, night and day. Not not here and there or on and off. Anna was on talking terms with God. Her heart was in tune with God. There was a time set aside in her life during the day and night to spend time with God in prayer and in fasting. Now, we do not know the words that Anna prayed, but we do know because she was a prophetess, the word meaning or referring to a teacher, she would have known her Old Testament scriptures. And so in prayer, while we don't know what she said, but the very fact she comes to the temple, Anna would have been praying, we could say with confidence, though we don't know what she said, but we can say that we believe that she would have been praying on the grounds of those prophecies. She would have come knowing that Christ was to be born. Why is she in the temple? She's there praying. She's fasting. She never doubted the promises of God concerning the Savior. And as I said, we don't know the words she prayed, but we can say that the very fact she's a prophetess and the very fact she comes to meet the Savior, she's there praying over the promises of God. Can I ask you, is there a time set aside in your daily schedule to seek God, to pray over the promises of God that He will build His church, promises concerning you? I say, stay there until you have met the Lord in His word. Never doubt the promises of God. Anna had a view of Christ because she did not doubt the promise of God. It's interesting to note in verse 38, there are a combination of different names that we could put together. Notice Anna, her name means gracious or grace of God. We did this with the children there the other week, whatever it was, the memory verse. And we were talking about your name has a particular meaning. And we looked at the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And so the name Anna means gracious or grace of God. It is the Greek name for the Hebrew word Hannah. And so Hannah in the Old Testament and Anna in the New Testament, both names mean gracious or the grace of God. Interesting to note as well, both were women of prayer and both spent time alone with God. Furthermore, Anna is the daughter of Phanuel, which this is the Greek name for the Hebrew place Peniel or Penuel. So the word Phanuel in Greek or Peniel or Penuel in the Hebrew, they have the same meaning. Means to see face to face. And you remember in Genesis 32, verse 30, when Jacob was alone and the Lord wrestled with him, we learn he called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Interesting to note as well, she is from the tribe, it says there, Asher. And isn't that interesting? Because we've been learning, haven't we, in the life of Joseph. And here's one of Joseph's brothers, Asher, the tribe of Asher. Isn't that amazing? And we've been learning how the nation is spared and all that there. And Joseph was the preservation of the family. Well, here is Asher. Asher means happy or blessed. And so when you put all these thoughts together, it was only by the grace of God that Anna saw the face of God that day in the temple. When she looked and beheld Christ, she was blessed. She was happy. And what I'm saying is this, when your walk with God is persistent and you're in daily fellowship with God and you depend upon His promises, you will be blessed because you will see the Lord face to face in His word. You will see the Lord in His house. You will have that meeting with God that you desire to see none but Jesus only. Anna was persistent. She came to the house of God. She came to meet her Savior. And therefore, child of God, be persistent in your time with God. Don't do it here and there, but seek the face of God the promises of God. Notice thirdly, Anna's praise. As she coming in that instant, give thanks likewise unto the Lord. When Anna saw the Lord, she rejoiced and she praised God. She praised God for her Savior. The words give thanks mean praise, mean to agree or to profess. And so the force of the words mean that whenever Anna came into the temple, each time she came in, she continually gave thanks on to the Lord. Isn't that remarkable? This woman of great age keeps coming to the house of God. And as she does, she's continually giving praise to God, continually giving thanks on to God, because the Savior. And this is the same event, remember, as we said, when Simeon came in on that day. You read the verses in this chapter, in Luke chapter 2, and we learn how Simeon, whenever he seen the Savior, he saw God's salvation. So both Simeon and both Anna, they agree together in their praise about Christ. She gives thanks for redemption and her Redeemer. Anna knew the seed of the woman, Christ, would bruise the serpent's head. And on this foundation, she knew the Savior was manifest to bear away sin and defeat the works of darkness. And when she seen Christ, there was adoration, there was praise, there was glory to God for the Savior. And so the two go together, praise and thanks for redemption, for the Redeemer. And therefore, child of God, whenever you meet with your Savior, whenever you come to God's house, may there be times of praise. May there be times of thanksgiving, because you come to worship one who is God's salvation. You come to worship the Savior of the world. You come to worship the one who was born to be an offering for sin, the one who came to give his life for you, the one who identified himself with sinners he came to save. And so here is Anna's praise. Notice finally, Anna's proclamation. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Having seen Christ, praising the Lord, Anna was motivated to speak of him. She never left the temple to speak of Mary. She never left the temple to speak of Joseph or other people. Rather, whenever she left the temple, she spoke of him to them all. She went round to tell others about the Redeemer, about redemption. In receiving a blessing, Anna was enabled to be a blessing. And isn't that the case? Whenever you are blessed in God's house, you will be a blessing to others. When you praise God and have been blessed by him, you will be a blessing to others, because Christ is the great source of our blessings. Anna had come to the temple to see none but her Savior. She came depending on the promises of the Word of God concerning redemption, concerning Messiah. Remember, at this time in Jerusalem and in the whole land, there was darkness, sin, unbelief in the days when Christ was born. Even we look at the time in Matthew chapter 2, Herod sought to destroy him. The religious leaders, they didn't desire the Savior. And yet there was the wise men wanting to see where he was, that we have come to worship him. And yet, in the midst of such a dark scene, there's a number of people here in the temple. Anna, a woman of great age, is one of them, who remained faithful to the Lord. And she demonstrated that she belonged to that covenant community, those who belong to the Lord. That small group of people, Anna included, had not departed from the faith. They had come believing to see Christ. They depended upon the promises concerning the birth of the Savior, the one where Scripture says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so whenever she walked in And on that day, on that occasion, the Savior is brought in. Here is the promised Savior. She spoke about redemption having left. The word redemption means to purchase, to buy back that was lost. The idea is one who is hopeless and they remain in bondage, burdened by debt, and will remain there unless they are brought out by the payment of a price. And so Anna knew that the Redeemer, the one who's come to pay the penalty of sin, the one who's come to set sinners free, has now been born. He has now come into the world, God manifest in the flesh. Here's joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Anna, she went out and told others, there's hope. Messiah has come. She spoke of redemption. She told others about the burden of sin. There's deliverance, redemption from the bondage of sin, the burden of sin, the guilt of sin. Messiah has come. By his life and by his death, he will purchase and provide redemption, salvation. And therefore, child of God, we look back to the birth of Christ. We look back to the cross. And we thank him for his life and for his death. We rejoice for redemption in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The debt has been paid. Our soul is set free. I say to you in this Christmas season, go round and tell others about redemption. Be like Anna. Tell others about the mighty Savior, the mighty Redeemer. There's hope on the one who was born to be an offering for sin. The greatest gift you can give anybody this Christmas is to tell them of salvation, to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anna is a wonderful example to all believers in so many ways. When was the last time you told someone about the Savior? When was the last time you spoke of redemption to others in Jesus Christ? Oh, I urge you, even this time, get back to the promises, because here's the thing. We look forward. Anna was looking in the promises for the first coming of Christ, and he came. And now we look forward to the second coming of Christ, because one day the Savior will return in all his glory. He's not coming to be king. He's coming as king. And therefore, we are to go and tell souls about redemption and seek to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Are you serving the Lord today, child of God? Are you sharing the gospel? Is there one here today you're not saved? You've heard about redemption. You've heard the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I urge you this day, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sin, and he will, for his name's sake. Amen.